We'll go to Acts chapter 16, is where we are in our Sunday evening or afternoon, in this case, series on the book of Acts. And we have gotten all the way to chapter number 16 and verse 16, and we are watching the early church. Now, we are several years into this since Christ has ascended. Now, the Apostle Paul is the focus. A few weeks ago, we saw a split between him and Barnabas. Barnabas took John Mark and began to serve the Lord, and Paul took Silas, and then we saw in his new team, not only did he have Silas, but he recruited a young man named Timothy. He also had with him Luke, and he's got a new team, and he's on a new journey. It's his second missionary journey, and last week we saw where he takes this new journey, and God, he was going to go one direction. He said, I'm going to go to Asia and minister there, and the Spirit of God said, don't preach there. Remember, we talked about it's pretty amazing Wednesday night, a pretty amazing thought that the Spirit of God would say, don't preach there. But that's not where he wanted him. And so he said, okay, well, I'm going to go to Bethany. And the Lord said, don't preach the word there. Don't go there. Then God gave him a vision, which we said was in the transitional period. God was directing him to Macedonia, and he's here to Philippi. And last week, when he obeyed God and he followed God's direction, God led him right to a lady named Lydia, a seller of purple. She was down by the river praying with some others and really seeking God. She was trying to worship God but didn't know how. She wanted a relationship with God but really didn't know the truth. And so Paul comes, shares the truth, and Lydia gets saved. She then got baptized. Her family got saved and baptized. And she is a young believer now in Christ. You know what? That's what happens when we follow the Lord's leading. And that's exactly what happened there. So now Paul is still in Philippi. We're going to pick up and see what happens today in a familiar text. So why don't we just pray, ask God to speak to our hearts, and get right into this Philippi. And this Philippi, by the way, when you read the book of Philippians, it's the church of Philippi. It started right here. The church of Philippi, the book of Philippians, started right here in Acts 16. So let's have a word of prayer, then let's see what takes place in this text. Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for that song that the girls just sang to really prepare us for this message. And I think the truth of that song will be found in our text today. And I thank you for it. And I pray that you would instruct our hearts, challenge our hearts, encourage our hearts through this text. Help me as I speak to be clear. Help us, Lord. I know it's been a long day and we've just eaten. But I do pray that our focus would be upon you now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at our text and look in Acts 16. We'll pick back up. We're in Philippi. We're going to see the work God has done starting verse number 16. And watch immediately out of the gate, this thought caught me. It says, here's what he says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. So here's Paul. He's got Silas with him, and they're going to go pray. That's a normal thing. That's a good thing. I love it. The statement is made as if it's just a normal thing that they do. And I hope that it gets to a place in our life where it's just normal that we pray. And they were saying, listen, we were just on our way to pray. It was just as we normally do. We spend time in prayer. We were going to spend time in prayer. Watch, opposition comes when they're trying to do something spiritual, spend time in prayer. And as soon as they went to spend time in prayer, it says, a certain damsel, a young lady, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us. So here we got a demon-possessed girl. We saw four little angels up here singing a second ago. Far from angels, by the way. But I mean four little girls. Here comes a little girl, a young lady, that was demon-possessed. Well, some of them sometimes act like it. They were up here earlier, but no. Here's some demon-possessed young girl, and here's what she starts to do. Look at what it says. Met us, which brought her masters much gain. She was bringing them money by soothsaying, by falling. It was an occult type of practice and trying to predict what's going on in the future. And she was demon-possessed, no doubt about it. And she had some masters that understood that she had something going on, and they were using her for money. And so they're making money off her, and watch what takes place. The same followed Paul and us, Luke saying that, and cried saying. Now here's what she says. It sounds good, but watch. These men are the servants of the Most High God. Let me ask you, is Paul a servant of the Most High God? Yes. What she's saying is true. Watch this. Which show us the way of salvation. Let me ask you, do they show the way of salvation? Yes. Now, what's the problem? It says, and this did she many days, but Paul being grieved. So here she is, and she's following the Apostle Paul, and she's saying to them, She's saying to everybody that's looking, these guys teach the way of salvation. These guys serve the Most High God. That's true. What's the problem? The problem is everybody knew she was a demon-possessed woman. Everybody knew she had terrible character, that she was something was wrong with her. And so now she's identifying with the work of Christ. Her testimony would affect how people look at the gospel. You know what I'm saying? So they would look and say, if she's identifying with that, then I want nothing to do with it. Because she is someone that identifies with the occult. She is demon-possessed. And she is talking about these guys, and it was going to turn people away from Paul and turn people away from Silas. Isn't that why we talk about often that our testimony needs to back up our life? If we say I'm a Christian, we better back it up and live like a Christian. If we say, you know what, and I'm more concerned about Christ than I am my church, but in the sense this is His church, and if we say, you know what, I'm a member of Green Road Baptist Church, then we better make sure that we're living for Christ when we leave here. Or please don't tell them you're a member of Green Road Baptist Church. And for that matter, don't even tell them you're a Christian if you're not going to live like it. Because doesn't it affect the testimony of the Lord? Our life is to bring glory to God. And what happened was this demon-possessed girl was saying the right things, but her life was not right. Her life was under the possession of a demon. And so people were turned off by that. And the Apostle Paul let her do it for a few days, it says. But finally, being grieved, he turned aside and said to this demon, I command thee, watch this next phrase, in the name of Jesus Christ, not in my power, but or my authority, but under the authority of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he, the Spirit, came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace to the rulers. And so here's the Apostle Paul. He let it happen for a few days, but finally he was sick and tired of listening to it. And he wasn't rebuking the girl. He was rebuking the demon in the girl. And he said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And that same hour came out the authority. God had given Paul an authority under Jesus Christ to call out that demon. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There in America, we don't see this as much, though it probably happens more than we think. We don't see demon possession as much, or at least we don't identify it as that as much in America today. But I'm telling you, we have some missionaries over in Nepal, the Mategs, they see it. We had the missionary couple to Brazil that was here with us. We don't support them, the Weinerts. They see it often. And I'm telling you, this stuff happens across the world. And we don't have the power in our own strength. No pope or priest or anybody has the power in their own strength to do it. I've had to talk to missionaries and pastors that have had to deal with people that were in that, and all they simply did is run to the Scripture. They prayed in Jesus' name, and then they would just ask the Lord to take care of things. I'm not saying that they were casting demons out. They were just doing all that they knew to do. But God gave the power to Paul under the authority of Jesus Christ to cast out this demon. Well, when it happened, then all of a sudden she didn't have the abilities or the powers that she once had. And so now her masters will say, well, this girl's useless to us. We can't make any money off of her. And so they're mad, and so they accuse Paul and Silas and these, and they drew them out, they caught them, they put them in the marketplace. Verse 20 says, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews. Now, all of this is happening, just keep in context, after Lydia got saved. So can we say this? A mountaintop experience of someone getting saved, and all of a sudden they go to pray, another still good thing, and they're attacked immediately. Doesn't Satan try to discourage us and discourage us and discourage us? You know, you may come forward and make a decision at the altar, or you may see some victory in your life during the week, and you're excited about it. All of a sudden Satan's going to want to attack, and he's going to want to attack, and you've got to be on guard. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So here's the Apostle Paul. I mean, they've done nothing wrong. They just saw a lady saved. They're praying, and all of a sudden this attack comes. They cast the demon out, help this girl out, and now they're brought before the magistrates, verse 20, saying, these men being Jews do exceeding trouble our city. No, they don't. They just cast out a demon. They helped a lady get saved. Then they go on to lie and saying they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So here all the Apostle Paul was doing was preaching, like I'm doing. And now they're getting beat. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, don't look that over like it's nothing. I mean, they took some time to beat them. So the Apostle Paul's not sitting here like you and I with our bellies full and all of a sudden comfortable, maybe a little time. He, because he just went and simply helped, shared the gospel, and because he simply cast a demon out, now he's probably been tied up and he's been beaten, and his back and flesh, no doubt, is scarred up and bleeding. And notice what takes place next. They cast him into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them. That word thrust is interesting, isn't it? Why would the Lord, he didn't just say, and he put them into prison. It says he thrust them. So here they are, beaten and bloodied, and he throws them into this prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. I mean, what have these guys done? I mean, really, have they done anything like, have they stolen anything? No. Have they murdered anybody? No. But they've been treated like the worst of criminals only because they preached the gospel. And now, I'm stopping there for a minute because I'm going to get, this next verse is a great verse. But put yourself in that situation, okay? Drop back 2,000 years, put you in Philippi in the same circumstances. How would you respond? I'm telling you how I would probably respond. I'd probably be saying, God, where are you at? I've done nothing wrong. All I've done is try to serve you, and I'd be yelling at these people saying, listen, I don't deserve this. I'm just telling you, in my flesh, I hope I'd be strong with this, and maybe I would sense God's grace, and maybe I would yield to God's grace, but I'm telling you, in my flesh, I would be getting pretty upset right now because they have been beaten, bloodied, thrown into prison, stocks put on legs like they're the worst of criminals, and they've done absolutely nothing. And here's how Paul responds. See if he responds like maybe I would have. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Now, maybe we would do that. If that's all it said, I would probably convince myself and say, you know what, I could see myself praying too. It may be a prayer of like, God, where are you at? Like David prayed some of those, but I could see myself praying. But then it goes a whole nother level. It says, and sang praises unto God. So here are these guys, and they have just been beaten. While they're sitting there, they're probably bloodied, they're probably bruised, they're sore. And this is not just like you got a little spanking and now you're in there. I mean, these guys were sore and bloody, and they're sitting in prison at midnight praying to God out loud and singing praises. Can you just imagine them going across singing some of those songs? Now, they didn't have Amazing Grace back then, but just picture them singing Amazing Grace. Probably singing some of those old psalms, maybe Psalm 23. No, that's actually a song. Maybe they're singing however that tune would have been for them. And they're singing. In the midst of their trial, in the midst of being opposition and persecution, for no reason, they're singing. They've got joy in their heart. How can that be? It's the reason it is because when Christ lives in me and I yield to Him, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Remember it says that be not drunk with wine where success, but be filled with the Spirit. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you know what? When I'm filled with the Spirit, you can't take my joy. You can do whatever you want, but you can't take my joy if I'm filled with the Spirit. You can beat me, you can spit on me, you can criticize me and tear me down, but you can't steal my joy when I'm filled with the Spirit. You know what? That's how God wants us to be. You say, well, that person, you know what? That person did this, they questioned me on this, they said that, and I'm upset. If you've lost your joy, then there's something going on in your spirit. If you can get in the flesh that quick, there's something going on in your spirit. Because these guys were beaten and left and thrust into prison, and they're singing praises to God because you can't steal their joy because they're staying in a right relationship with God. And I think you and I ought to say, man, maybe not you, okay? Maybe I just need the only one, but need to take a quick look and say, you know what? There are some things that may go on in our life or my life, but I'm not going to let it rob my joy in my relationship with God. And so they're saying, hey, you know what? You guys may have falsely done this to us, but we're just going to keep singing to God. We're just going to keep praising God because He's never failed us and He'll get us through this. And about verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. So you got to realize Paul and Silas were not the only ones in this prison. There was a bunch of other guys. And what happens next, I know you probably know the story, but it just amazes me because everybody, I mean, this earthquake came in and everybody was loosed. Okay? So imagine, you know, James is sitting over here and Greg's sitting over here. Here's two prisoners. They look like they would be in prison, don't they? They look like prisoners. Now, let's say I'm the Apostle Paul, because I don't look like I'd be in prison, do I? So I'm just kidding. So I'm in prison. These two guys are over there, and I'm just singing away, which may be scary, and they hear me singing, and they hear me praying, and I got Silas over here beside me, and all this is going on. And then all of a sudden, an earthquake, and everybody's shaking around, and James looks down, and Greg looks down, and boy, they're free. Paul looks down, Silas looks down, and they're free, and watch what happens. So there's a pause. It doesn't tell us what happens at first. So then it's like a screenshot. If you're watching a movie, they show this, all of a sudden the earthquake and everybody's chains fall off. And then they take from that scene, they cut that scene and they move to another scene. And the other scene is this jailer walking in after this earthquake, probably wondering what's going on. And as he walks in, it says that the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. So he takes the sword out and he's getting ready to kill himself. I mean, I don't know how you kill yourself with a sword. I'm just going to picture it like this because I really don't know. But he's got a sword and he's getting ready to kill himself because he looks and the door's open. He sees shackles on the ground. So though he hasn't peered into the darkness, he just assumes, okay, if you unlock the doors and you unlock the chains, prisoners are going to run. It's just what happens. So he just looks and he sees the doors open. He's going, oh no, that's a death sentence for a guard. That means you lost your prisoners, you're dead. So he's like, I'm not going to let somebody else kill me. I'm going to kill myself. And he gets ready to kill himself. And all of a sudden, Paul, verse 28, cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are, now watch that next phrase, look at it, all here. Now, in my illustration, James is in prison because he deserves to be in prison. Greg's in prison because he deserves to be in prison. I, the Apostle Paul, am in prison because I preached. I don't necessarily deserve it. But if I want to have a good testimony and I want to do it, so I'm going to stay. But these guys have no reason to stay. Man, these guys take off, get out of here, go. But Paul, in even the short amount of time and testimony he had somehow convinced everybody to stay. And he said, Paul, being the spokesman, said, hey, don't kill yourself. Everybody's still here. You're fine. You're not going to be killed for this. We're all here. Nobody's left. Their chains are gone, but they're all still there. And so this man who's been sitting out there, though he was asleep when this happened, he'd been hearing them pray. He'd been hearing them sing. And in his heart, he had heard, no doubt, about Jesus somewhat before. And in his heart, he's hearing them sing about this. And I don't know what he was thinking. Can I speculate for a second? He's probably thinking something like, man, these guys are willing to die for what they believe. These guys are willing to be beaten for what they believe. And though he stood there as a guard, he was listening to this and it was impacting his heart. Their testimony was making a difference on him. And can I say this? Just like that demon-possessed girl's negative testimony was going to affect the gospel, your positive testimony can make a difference in somebody's life. You say, you know what? My people at work, they're so hard. My family's so hard. You're making a difference. Just stay after it. I shared in Sunday school about my friend or cousin Matthew who was here last week. Last week in church, when church was over, he was getting a text. I watched him back there, and his sister went to church down in Florida and got saved. He's been praying for her and praying for her. His mom just got saved a few months earlier, got baptized and joined my dad's church. His dad already got saved and baptized. He's a member of another church, and they're divorced. But now his sister got saved last week, and he was excited and thrilled about it. He'd been praying for her and praying for her, praying for her. He's praying for his other sister today. I hope she went to my dad's church. He invited her, and she went to a funeral afterwards for her grandpa. My dad was preaching, and he's praying, asked me to pray that she'd be saved. But you know what? I don't even remember where I was going. But anyway, but he had a spirit of prayer. He was praying. That's where I was going. Because his testimony, listen, he's been saved for probably 20 years, I don't know. And his sisters had not been saved, but listen, he'd been praying. And his sister down in Florida all of a sudden decided, I'm going to go to church. And went to a church and loved it. That church, by the way, when she left that Sunday, they'd given her a visitor's card like we do. They gave her a gift afterwards. She goes, that was awesome. They gave me a gift afterwards. And then they went and followed up. They sent her an email. They went to her house and left cookies on her door. She's like, you know what? I love this church. So she's like, I'm going to come back week 2. She came back week 2 and she got saved in week 2. I'm thankful they had a follow-up plan, and we try to have a follow-up plan like that as well. But you know what I think led all of that? Because she had a brother that had the same testimony for 20 years. He loved her and prayed for her. He went to church. Man, you look at this girl, I'm telling you, I know her. I've seen her since grow up, since she was a little baby, and I thought, this girl is so far away from the Lord, there's no way. But she had a consistent brother and a consistent brother and a consistent brother, and today she's saved and in church. Why? Because, well, God saved her, but the testimony. And I'm telling you, this jailer that day, when all of a sudden he heard, man, they're all gone, he's going to kill himself, Paul says, no, we're here, we're all here. All of a sudden the jailer asked a question that is the best question you could ever ask in verse number 30. He says, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul hadn't even preached a message to him. He'd just been singing and praying, but in his testimony, he'd so won this guy that now this guy looks and says, you're still here, and these guys are still here. He goes, listen, I need what you have. I don't have what you have. You have joy, I don't have joy. You have a peace, I don't have peace. You have a relationship with Jesus, I don't. He says, sir, what must I do to be saved? Well, how do I get to heaven? How do I have what you have? And here's what Paul answered. Here's what Paul did not answer. Watch what he did not answer. He did not say, work your way to heaven. He did not say anything about baptism. Here's what he said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He said, sir, if you want to be saved and you want to have what I have, the joy that I have, the faith that I have, and the peace that I have, you're going to have to believe, place your faith, place your dependence, it's all synonyms, upon Jesus Christ alone, and you would be saved. And if your family does it, it says, and thy house. It just means if you do that and your family does it, you'll all be saved. And they spake with him, verse 32, the word of the Lord. They began to talk about Jesus and who he is, that he's God. And they shared all these things. And then they went to his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and his on all of his house straightway. So that man, that night, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. He said, what do I got to do? And Jesus, he told him, he shared all that, and he received Jesus as his Savior. Immediately, he said, you know what? I want to be baptized. He got baptized. His family, who had just got saved, they got baptized. And they, all of them were identical. Now, that baptism, because I so often preach that it doesn't get you to heaven, it almost looks like I minimize it. Baptism is a big deal. And what that guy just did right there is not only did he say, as a jailer, my guys could have got free and they didn't. But now he's saying, as a jailer, get this, by getting baptized, he's saying, I'm identifying with the same God that got you put in jail. So what was that jailer saying? That jailer was saying, I'm willing to go through what you went through because I believe in your God. It's a big deal. I think anytime someone gets in this tank to get baptized, I always preach, they're not getting in this tank to save them. That's true. But every time they get in this tank, it is a serious thing, because what they're saying is, I am siding with Jesus Christ. He's my God. I'm identifying with Him. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's a big deal. So here they are. They got saved, and then they got baptized. And he's already busy serving. You already see him washing their stripes. The stripes that maybe he was responsible for, or at least he watched happen. Now he's trying to clean them up and help them out. And he's taking care of all that. It says in verse number 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God, their salvation, with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the surgeon, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told the saying to Paul, and the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. And in my flesh, I kind of like this for Paul. I guess got to be honest. It's almost like Paul, so these guys, they hear what happened, and the guys go down and say, hey, just send that jailer down there and just let Paul go. Just let him go. Paul and Silas, let him go. Watch what Paul says. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned. We did nothing wrong, but they beat us. And we're Romans being Romans, and they've cast us into prison, and now they thrust us out privily or secretly. Nay, he says, no, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. Now, in my flesh, I kind of like this. I don't know why. Paul says, listen, hey, no. We're Rome. So what happened was they found out that these guys are Roman citizens as well. He's a Jew, but he's a Roman citizen. You're not supposed to handle Roman citizens like they did. So they're trying to just, listen, let's just get them out secretly. Just somebody release and let them out secretly. Nobody knows. And Paul's going, nope, I'm not budging. If you're going to beat me, and I didn't deserve it, and now you're going to sneak me out? You threw me in the prison? Nope. So I want you personally, you come down here and you let me go. I want everybody to know that you're letting me go. I'm telling you what, in my flesh, I kind of like that. I don't know if I could do it, but I kind of like that. Was Paul in his flesh here? I don't know. God recorded it in the Word of God. But he said, I want you to come down and let me go. And the sergeant told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. See, at this point, they didn't know. And now they go, oh, these guys are Romans, and we just treated them like that? Yeah, get them out of here. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. So they said, listen, just get out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So this is trip to Philippi. And you know how I sum up his trip of Philippi? It started in obedience to God. I want to go to Asia. No. I want to go to Bithynia. No. God says, I want you to go this direction. He says, yes, sir. He yielded to God and he obeyed. And when he went, Lydia got saved. But you know what? God also led him to that suffering. If you stop and think about it. Did God know that when I direct him to Philippi, I'm directing him to get beat? Did God know that? Yes. But God also knew that once he goes through that, he's going to make a difference on this jailer and this jailer's family, and they're going to be saved. Did God also know that? Yes. So Paul's whole journey, this whole time, is just being led by God. And God led him to some victories. God led him through some trials. But in both of them, people got saved. Here's what I'm saying. God may allow some difficulties to come in your life, but he's always trying to point you towards where you can share the gospel. And God may just keep you in the high time for some time, and it's always about the gospel. It's all about the gospel. And that's what the Apostle Paul went. And he didn't let it steal his joy no matter where he went. And so I guess I'll sum it up this way for us as we close. What type of Christian are you? I'm assuming everybody in here is saved. That's great. But are we, and I don't even like to put this category on it because it's not, but I have a meaning. Are we the Apostle Paul type of saved? Where we're yielded to God, we're allowing God to lead in our lives. You know what, God, I want you. When I say lead in their lives, I know we're not missionaries, and I'm not saying he's going to lead you out of Madison, away from your job. I just mean every day, God, lead in my conversations. God, lead me to someone that maybe needs the gospel. God, what do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to handle this? Just, are you letting God lead you? That's what the Apostle Paul was like. Are you the type of the Apostle Paul type of Christian where even when difficulties come or people treat you wrong, you still have a spirit of joy? You don't hold grudges. You don't hold bitterness. You forgive. You love. Or are we the type of Christian that says, you know what? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But don't bring trials to me, God, or I'm going to be bitter and upset. And I'm going to be depressed and I'm not going to talk. And God, you know what? I just want to hold on until I get to heaven. I'm not looking for souls. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He goes down to the riverside, sees a lady, shares the gospel. She gets saved. Gets thrown in prison. Looks for people. Just sings praises and they get saved. The question is, how's your testimony as a Christian? It's a big question. Big question. How is our testimony? We should be sharing the gospel. But even if we hadn't to that person yet, would they know and see in our lives, they have a joy that I don't have. They have a peace that I don't have. They have a love that I don't have. I need what they have. That's what it's after. The reason why this jailer got saved, the reason why Lydia got saved is because Paul preached. The reason why this jailer got saved is because Paul lived it out in his life. Now, he had to share the gospel, and that's and the jailer understood, but I'm telling you, people ought to hear us, but people ought to see it consistently in our life. And that's what we need as Christians. If we're going to make a difference, I know that's not our theme for this Sunday night, but it's the theme in my heart. If we're going to make a difference, we've got to be consistent. We've got to share it, but we've got to live it. That's the genuine type part I talked about in week number one. Paul was, and he left Philippi in chapter number 16, and he left with at least one family, or two families, Lydia's family and the jailer's family. And from that's going to start a church called Philippi. Do you know what the theme of the book of Philippians is? Do you remember the theme of the book of Philippians? The theme is joy. And that's exactly what Paul showed while he was in the prison. And while he wrote to those people, he was actually in prison again when he wrote to the church of Philippi. And when he wrote to the church of Philippi, you know who was sitting there? Lydia and her family and the jailer and his family. Why? Because of this chapter and this text, this story right here, a church was started. How's our testimony around people? Is it making a difference? Let's bow our heads for a second. Close our eyes. We will have a quick invitation or maybe a long invitation. I don't care. But I think there's enough in this text that we need to have an invitation because we need to search our hearts. And maybe you're in a trial and you say, you know what, I've not had the best attitude in my trial. I haven't used this trial to point me to Christ or to have a joy. I've just been really grumpy and upset. Or maybe you'd say, you know what, my testimony is not really what it should be, what it could be. I need to ask God to forgive me and I want to live it out. Maybe say, you know what, I just need to be more bold in my witness, like Paul was. Whatever it may be, you can take some time to pray about in this invitation. Father,